Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Fairbanks City Council regular work session this Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Starting at 7 a.m., Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Tidwell. Here. Mr. Marney.
I'm here.
Mr. Ringstead.
Yes. Here.
Ms. Rogers.
Here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm here.
And Mayor Pruse.
I'm here. Okay. First item on our agenda is Ordinance 6277, an ordinance authorizing additional matching funds for the Powell Street Reconstruction Project and amending the 2024 capital budget. It's advanced to the second reading. Bob, you want to come up and bring us through this?
Morning. So the area we're talking about is south of Airport Way on Cowell Street from Airport Way down to where the road splits basically between North and East Cowell's. That project is what we're talking about here. So the original estimate was based on normal circumstances of a construction project of this size. But what joins it right next to it is the Shoppers Forum. Right. And so the Shoppers Forum, was originally a city site, and the Gavors own it now, and we're negotiating with them about the cleanup of that. And that's under the control of DEC. Okay, so it used to be a dry cleaners there. And when a site is contaminated by dry cleaners and there's solvents involved, it's what they call a RCRA waste. I don't want to get into too much details here, but the problem is that because it's a RCRA waste, RCRA, it's an acronym for something I can't recall directly. But what it means is the waste is heavily regulated by EPA. So because the nature of the waste and our project that joins it, the right-of-way, it's directly west of it, there's going to be what they call a contained in policy done by EPA, which really means that we have to analyze the soil to show that it's free of contaminants to a certain degree. Now, EPA uses DEC cleanup levels as a demarcation point between when the soil has to be brought to a landfill that's out of state or a landfill that's in state. They say if the contaminants are at a certain level, the soil can go to a subtitle D landfill, which is the borough. But the borough won't take it. So when we analyze the soil, if there's any contaminants in it at all, down to any detection level, the material has to be shipped out of state. Okay.
Who says that?
Landfill.
Well,
there is no EPA site in state that will take a contaminant like that. That's why we take the concrete on the exterior of the Polaris building and send it down to Oregon.
But is that based on EPA or DEC or who?
There's a couple of things here. The contaminants at the Polaris building are PCB. Nobody can take PCB in Alaska, but what we're talking about is solvent from a RCRA site. That's a different type of contaminant. And EPA says if you're below a certain level, you can bring it to a subtitle D landfill, which the borough is.
Uh-huh.
But the borough won't take any hazardous material, and they won't take gravel. This is their policy. But so anyway, the estimate now is for shipping this material out of state if we find it.
Because of this EPA,
because
DEC.
Of EPA, it's really a national policy. It isn't just, and I have email, and I didn't add it to your packet because, maybe I can add it before the second reading. But I asked EPA, straight out. It says, look, your policy says it doesn't all have to be shipped out of state, but in really, in reality, you do have to ship it out of state because the borough won't take it.
But is it, so that's the borough, not EPA.
Well, the borough landfill manager, see, they're a solid waste facility, but they're not a hazardous waste facility, but they are a Subtitle D landfill. So EPA says they can take it, but whether the borough manager wants to take it or not, it's really up to them.
So because of that, we're shipping it.
We have to ship it out of state. Now, Anchorage has a Subtitle D landfill, but they won't take it either. So the estimate now is for a certain amount of this material to be shipped out of state. That's the only way we can really move forward with the bid. The same thing happened on Third Widening. $6 million was spent on that project to ship gravel out of state. You know, so the end result of all this is $5 million is used to ship gravel and not build any roads.
Crazy.
And Oregon gets the benefit from it, and maybe some of the contractors involved here get the benefit of it, but it doesn't build any roadways. But I'm not saying anything's wrong here. It's just we have to provide enough money in case this material is contaminated, because you can imagine we get into construction, the contractor's digging, they find contaminated material. Now we have a change order situation that really would increase the cost, right? We want to be ready before the bids go out and identify this up front so the material is, so there's a plan to analyze the material, store it if necessary until the analyticals come back, and then have enough money to ship it out of state if it's required. We don't want to go into it blind and just say, hey, we don't got a problem, and then we have a contractor on board, and then everything goes.
But so this is just a maybe?
Well, again, if any material is discovered at any concentration in the right-of-way, and because it's right next to the RCRA site, EPA will require a determined or a contained-in policy. And because the borough will not take any material, all that material would have to be shipped out of state.
But you're saying there's a chance it couldn't. It might not.
It's possible. Anything is possible, but it's right next to it. And our consultant, Shannon Wilson, says it's unlikely, but they're not going to guarantee there's. We're going to drill it this summer, and we're going to look for the contaminations before we advertise as a separate project, a separate contract. We're going to drill it, analyze it, and see really what we have. But there'll probably be something, but we don't know for sure. So you're right. We're going to look in the soil now, see what's there. Then we'll know more. But we really can't move forward with the project unless the city agrees to pay this additional match. The extra $6 million I was estimating, there'll be a match that the city is required to pay for that extra $6 million, so we can move forward.
Ms. Sprinkle.
It seems to me that this is all because the borough won't take it. Although it sounds like it's legal, they won't take it. And it seems to me they should spend half of it because of that.
Well,
they should be on the hook for some of this. Am I crazy?
It could be. They use gravel to cover material, but how much they use, and, you know, it's their responsibility to manage the landfill the way they see fit. And the same thing happened on Third Widening.
What is that?
You know, the project we did a couple of years ago where we put the new roundabout in at Island Homes there.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know, that whole street, that whole thing got reconstructed. Mm-hmm. That was like a $10 million project. $6 million of it went to ship material out of state.
Mr. Marnie.
I got three questions, Bob. There used to be a place on the ridge there that burnt soil. That's out of business now, I take it?
They can burn gasoline and diesel fuel, but they can't deal with the RCRA waste. See, it's the way the EPA classifies this waste. There isn't a place in Alaska that can take this waste and remediate it efficiently.
Okay, and are we going to test it on the Cal Street side? We're not going to go towards Planet Fitness or the parking lot.
Well, our project stops at the right-of-way for the most part.
Okay.
So we're interested in the removal of the soil necessary to build the project. We're building the roads, so we're going to take out 2 feet of material. That generates a large volume of material, and that's the problem.
Okay, and last
So we're going to test in the right-of-way.
Last question, is Gavora on the hook for any of this?
Not in the right-of-way. They're only in the private property.
Okay.
Yeah, see.
Mr. Ringstead.
So, I mean, we've known for a long time there's been a laundromat over there, air dry cleaners, and they all, most of the old school ones, polluted. How well tested is that area? And what do they know where the plume is?
Well, we somewhat know, but some people would say we don't know it well enough. So that's why we're constantly still defining or what they call characterizing the plume. It's horizontal and vertical location.
Right.
So DEC is requiring the city to do more testing.
Are they requiring others to do it too?
Well, the city and Gavora are paying for this requirement. And we negotiate with DEC how much of the requirement we're doing. Tom knows this story pretty good. But so to answer the question, there's this private property the city owned. The Gavora is on the hook now because they bought it. That's the way environmental law works. Once you buy a piece of property, now you're part of the solution to clean it up. You're part of the payment.
Party.
So, you know, there's a problem with the plume. It goes basically northwest. We're delineating the plume, and Gavora and the city are paying for that.
So how much right-of-way do we have that we're taking over there?
We're not taking any. We have existing right-of-way.
But how much ground?
It generates 11,000 cubic yards in material. The area, I forget. But you can imagine it's the width of the back of sidewalk, the back of sidewalk.
So at the other end, and maybe this is for Tom to think about, not necessarily we need to know today, but as you get into these cleanup sites, I've been involved in this once or twice, you get potentially responsible parties that anybody that ever owned that property theoretically is on the hook. I don't even remember who owned it before the current owners, but do they have any insurance on this? I mean, my guess is whoever owned it back in the 60s probably is not available and has no money, but in terms of, is anybody else going to have any potential pot of money that helps us pay for this?
I don't know the answer to that. I do know Gavora and the city are paying for the characterization of the plume now.
So they're in the bucket with us.
That property there was part of the Weeks Field Airport. And then in the 50s, with the advent of Airport Road, the city had title to it. The city's always had title to it. Then the city leased it to the Gavora Inc., and they developed it. And with that, in about 1972, they put in a satellite building there that had a laundromat in it. And laundromat, wood stave piping, chemicals down the drain. There it went. There it started. And then they bought the property from the city of Fairbanks.
Did the state own the airport to begin with?
What's that?
Did the state own the airport to begin with?
I don't think so.
The
feds? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't remember who owned it.
Don't remember who owned that. But when the city then leased that property to Fairview Manor. And then we ended up selling it to Raven's Landing and the other low-income housing that's based there. And we also had the Shoppers Forum, and we sold that to Gavora at their request. And so the plume, the discovery of the pollution was after the sale, and that's where the legal fight started. And we've had both state and federal lawsuit that we've gone through. So is that about right, Bob?
You're pretty much, yes, sir.
Yeah.
So of the money piece of this, I mean, we're doubling the price. We're extra $8 plus million. We're only putting in $800. Is this a federal match? So this is federal money?
It's federal money, essentially, yeah.
So effectively, the feds are going to pay the 80% of whatever that cost.
I think we're 9% or 5% match, Marguerite? 9% match. So the rest of the money comes from you, 90%.
But we come back to your point that we're just taking this money and paying it to be trucked out of here. We're going to clean it up regardless, but the bigger cost is probably driving it.
Well, we're not
truckloads of dirt.
Mm-hmm. We're not cleaning it up, remember. We're just
shipping it out.
Moving the material. That's because we want to rebuild the roadway. The contamination still
well, then
there.
You backfill, right?
Well, when we remove the material, it has to go somewhere.
Mr. Clearworth.
Bob, this project's in the TIP, right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't remember it being $15 million, but...
It's 15 now with the contamination.
The plume goes northwest. This road is to the east, essentially, of that property, east and south.
Yes.
And you're only going down 3 feet, you said? 6 feet?
For the roadway excavation, yes, 2 feet.
I mean, normally, the laundromat contamination, doesn't that go down to the groundwater?
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't get anywhere near the groundwater, does it?
No. Groundwater is probably 8 or 9 feet there. But there has been hits in the soil on the property way above the groundwater. So they think it might not have just been flushed down the drain. It might have been spilled on the surface.
Ms. Rogers, do you have a question there? Someone's hand is up. Oh, is that?
Taking a look.
Okay. Where does that hand come from?
Again, Bob, to follow up, all parts of that road may not be contaminated. You might have a spot that is, but not the rest of it.
This estimate's not based on the whole roadway excavation. It's only based on where it's basically from center line west towards the property, and really from Kennecott to a couple hundred feet back from the intersection. This is only a section of the roadway. You're correct. I'm not assuming all of it's going to be contaminated. I'm only assuming a part near our right-of-way that borders the property is going to get a hit. I mean, if everything is contaminated, well, then we're done for.
You just drop the project?
We're going to find out this summer when we do the drilling. That way, or we just,
just do a repave on the top.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, just say, okay, yeah, we can't afford to rebuild the road. We'll just pave it and call it good. Okay. We got a foundational issue there. So paving it isn't going to solve it. It's going to sink again in a couple of years.
Any other questions for Bob? These are not easy items when you're dealing with something like this. Mr. Ringstead.
I mean, the kind of the place we are right now is we got to put up some money in case we got to spend a lot of money. Until you drill that, we have no idea how much money we're going to spend.
That's pretty good.
You're just shooting in the dark, right? That's all you can do.
We're trying to plan for the best guess we can.
Yeah, and go forward to keep the project moving. So until we drill that next summer, we all
this
know
summer.
If this is going to be $2 million or $20
million. We're going to drill it this summer.
Yeah, so all we're doing is keeping you on tracks.
Yes. I would recommend doing it, yeah.
Okay.
One more question. Can the borough make an exemption if they wanted to?
You know, I'm sure they could, but, you know, they're probably looking at what if EPA changes the requirements. Now they're stuck with this contaminated soil.
Well, they'd never do that, would they, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Ringstead.
For the amount of money we're going to spend to truck it out there, we could probably pay for the whatever they needed to do to contain this stuff.
I mean, landfills are about $3 million to build a landfill? I know all of that, but you know, for that cut $8 million, I feel like, wow, we could build a new landfill. No kidding, seriously. This is crazy money.
Okay, we're going to continue on with our items here. Item number three, resolution number 5114, resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for funds from the Alaska Highway Safety Office for fiscal year 2025 DUI Traffic Enforcement Unit. And this is introduced by myself, and our cost is in kind of $56,000. Questions? Mr. Ringstead.
So is this federal money?
State.
So where is the state coming up with money just to, for us to hire?
It's a
DUI traffic officer, two traffic unit officers?
I don't know that amount. I don't know where it comes from, but Sarah of Margarita's office, she's the one who found this pool of funding that we're applying for. Ms. Sprinkle.
For how long is this? Is this paying for 1 year of this program?
Margarita?
It's paying for 1 year. This is a grant that we've applied for multiple years. And I know that the police chief stated that he had someone that would be interested in doing this program. It has evolved during the years. At one point in time, we had a traffic unit of 3 to 4 staff that was funded by this particular grant. It's evolved and changed over the years. But now it pays for when they're actually doing the work, whereas in the past, it would pay for 100% of an officer. So
does that mean it's not a new hire? They would just have a police officer taking this job on? Right?
He has a new hire in mind for this grant.
Mr. Ringstead.
So. Traffic unit supervisor. That sounds like three people to me.
That is true, but the traffic unit officer is a current your police sergeant that you currently budget and pay for. So we're using the salaries of that supervisor as a match. So it's really an in-kind cost.
So the supervisor we already have on the payroll.
Correct.
So this other one says two traffic unit officers for the grant. So
correct.
We're hiring two?
Two. That is the intent, is to hire two, but the chief has one person in mind.
I would say, I wouldn't use the term hire, I would use the term dedicated. You're going to dedicate two officers to this that we already have on staff.
So we're taking two of our current people, saying we're going to put them on the traffic patrol, which we haven't been doing because they're too short-handed. And we're going to pay for it with this money instead of our money.
Yes.
So we're not gaining anything on the police force. We're just saying, okay, we're going to do more traffic work and use their money. Or we're just going to use their money and say we're doing traffic work.
Correct. Mr. Marney.
I think that's a great idea. We have a lot of speeders. I know in my neighborhood alone is around 10th and Kellum, it's just, it's 20 miles an hour, and it's when parents go pick up their kids over at Denali, 10th Avenue is like a 40 mile per hour driving speed, so I'm into this.
Ms. Sprinkle.
If you go to page 130 of your budget, you'll see that we have indicated those two positions. And you'll note it down the bottom of that page that those two grant-funded positions are coming up. So we've taken those into consideration in the 2024 budget. Correct. Yes, we had intended to apply for this particular grant for those two DUI positions.
So effectively you're replacing our general fund with this.
Right. You have increased your general fund, and then you're showing the grant funds coming out for those two positions.
The money we budgeted.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions before we move on? Mr. Cleworth? Nope. Your light's on there, sir.
No.
Okay. Moving on, item number four. City tobacco products distribution and excise tax update and discussion. Who was this one? Ms. Sprinkle.
I asked
think Jerry was going to go back to the borough and have a little word.
I think I'm going to have the mayor respond to that.
Okay.
I asked Jerry not to attend any of their meetings. I'm going to ask Mr. Marnie not to attend meetings. I don't think they're worthy of our presence, to tell you the truth. Yeah.
So that's where we, okay, I'm confused then. So that's all I was looking for, is to see what we, if anything, had moved on this.
I had a staff investigate what Mr. Kras told us, and basically what he said is not verifiable, not provable. And my personal thought is it's a cash grab. They stacked it on us because we have the majority of the sales, and they want the tax revenue. There was no provable point that we could find showing that it would be lowering the use of tobacco products.
The use of?
For anyone.
Okay.
We found that 8% of the product is purchased online. That can be distributed however you want it. So I have a feeling that will be going up. So my personal thoughts.
Okay. Well, what I was hoping to find out is what leeway we had, because I'd like to get an ordinance or a something that says to the borough, we want you to undo or put a donut hole, like they do the taxes for alcohol or anything else.
Mr. Clayworth.
As a body.
I think we could do that and have a resolution by next
right.
week, essentially stating our disappointment with the decision, and that is incredibly unfair to one business to increase their taxes by 40% all at 20 here and 20 there, and then to give the borough businesses a 20% advantage over the city businesses that are doing the same thing. I mean, I think we can word it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you're gonna see the, in a little bit, a resolution that Mayor Ward asked me to introduce, and it's a cooperative agreement for economic development in Fairbanks, which requires the borough, the city, and the city of North Pole all to sign a document. And I told him that he should come over and present that, because we would be very hostile to any act in conjunction with the Fairbanks North Star Borough at this time, especially economic development on something like that, when this is what they pulled. Now, Mr. Marnie has reported that he called up Mr. Kras, and Mr. Kras indicated that he would put an amendment to remove the city of Fairbanks from that. And then we also have a letter from a gentleman who testified here saying similar what Mr. Kras would do, but then he didn't do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I look at this and I say, I like Mayor Ward a lot, really respect him. And if you want to do this, you have to explain it to the city council personally. This is something you want. This is something the city of Fairbanks does not need. So if this is a request of your want for an economic development agreement with the city of Fairbanks, come over and explain it. So.
And in our conversation last time, I know that it was upsetting. We heard a lot of things that were disappointing. But I would also ask that our body not punish the downtown plan.
That...
I just really worry that we talk about that.
I don't foresee that.
Okay.
I've already met.
Work on that. Yeah. I would hate to see that.
Tidwell will tell you that they had a presentation at the Planning Commission on that, and I attended that to give input and ask them all to review that and give us thoughts and input. So I don't foresee that being affected, 6 years worth of work being affected.
Seven.
I stand corrected.
Seven
long years of work.
Okay.
That
good.
Jerry and you have put into us. So I do not foresee that, to tell you the truth.
I mean, I understand why we're a little, it's tense. It's too bad. I still can't believe it happened, but I would hate to see our misalignment on something so important. So I hope that we can work through that.
Everything's not a casualty, but there will be casualties because of their actions.
I understand.
Simple as that. Anything else on this before I move on? Mr. Marnie.
Well, am I mistaken that they're not going to do a presentation before the next city council meeting?
In regards to?
The downtown plan.
Oh, yeah.
We have, I believe it's on April 13th, we will be having that. And then, or April 22nd, we will have a resolution of support the following meeting. What I asked them to do is give us a presentation on the April 22nd, and then the following meeting is April 13th, where we can have a resolution. That way, we have 2 weeks to review it if we have any questions. But we are not slowing that down in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you.
Yep. Mr. Cleworth.
A question for you or Crystal. Did they, the Planning Commission, make changes to that plan?
Yes, they did.
We had the presentation. There was quite a few questions and comments. I believe it's on our agenda to really get into it at our next meeting. We're not done.
You brought up some items that had never been presented before. And according to Kellen at the Borough, Director of Planning and Zoning, those items were removed.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
So we'll verify that.
Okay.
It gets interesting. It really does.
Yeah, I heard about it, and I mean, some people brought up things in the plan I said I've never seen, and you and I worked on that forever, and I thought, how did they get in there? But I think the Borough Planning Department removed them and went back to the original plan. So.
Yeah. Okay. It gets interesting. Yes, it does. But that's why we have our eyes on the ball with the Borough. We really do. Okay, we're going to go on to better subjects. We have Margarita Bell's Finance Committee report here.
Well, good morning, everyone. You have before you the Finance Committee meeting report of March 28th. The committee met. All were present. We reviewed the February 29th reports. The general fund balance was $16 million. The revenues and expenditure report, we had as of that date, 3.8 in revenues and 8.3 million in expenditures. Our cash flow balance as of that date, February the 29th, was 37.4 million. The committee did recognize in reviewing the financial statements that we need to keep a close eye on the fire department overtime budget, Public Works temporary salaries and benefits, and the engineering salaries and benefit budget. So we will continue to review that mid-year. You might see a budget amendment for those items. More than likely, you will see one for fire, but we still want to monitor the Public Works and engineering. The committee members reviewed the methods for sustaining the capital fund. We have determined that we do want to do a policy and procedures for the capital fund. We're just looking at ways to sustain that fund, and we hope to have something that we will present to council by June 30th, more than likely in a work session. The committee members, we started the review of the general fund long-range financial projections. That was a report that was requested, and we hope to address that at the first part of our meeting, which will be in April. So that sums up our finance committee member meeting report as of for March the 28th.
Discussion, Mr. Cleworth.
Margarita, on the general fund revenues expenditures report, revenues of 3.8, expenditures of 8.3. Some of that would be the transfers to the capital, right?
That is correct.
How much of that number?
5.5 million was the transfer. So we would have been at 9.3.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions? Ms. Rogers, do you have any questions?
No, not at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions before I move on? Okay, we're going to go to mayor and council member comments. We'll start with Mr. Ringstad.
Yeah, you know, I was this weekend, I was reading through our borough's plan, and I got several thoughts on the plan, but something struck me in there. There was a report in there that they put in there because safety and crime was an issue. And they had a chart in there and a couple of maps that showed over the last 5 years personal injury type crimes and another one that showed property type crimes. And I saw three subdivisions on that map. They had their little dots. A little dot of this is 1 to 5. A bigger dot is, you know, 25, whatever. Of course, they color-coded, and I'm color deficient, so I have a hard time reading their colors. But three subdivisions. Arctic Park, just a real tight little close neighborhood. Island Homes, another little small neighborhood. And Slaterville, another little. Each of those three neighborhoods had over 30 property crimes reported in that 5-year period. That's averaging every six homes had property crimes each year in all three neighborhoods. Now, if six of your neighbors in a small neighborhood are reporting crimes every year, you wonder why people are getting nervous? I mean, I think that's something we need to be thinking about. If people are going to be safe in their own homes, they can't be having six of their neighbors getting broken into every year. So,
all that attention.
Well, they got dots all over the map that show you where they are. So I'm assuming they're accurate. I don't know that, but they show block by block where they are.
This is in the downtown plan?
Uh huh.
I'll have to look at that again.
Take a look. It's
I'll have it with me.
I want to say it was page 57, but I could be asleep on the switch on that one. Public safety. There was, yeah, they got the little maps. Yeah, page 57.
57. Okay.
Take a look. I mean, I think it's of concern to me, you know, and I've had more than one person tell me that they're at a point where they're going to protect their own property. You wonder why so many people are doing concealed carry? You know, people are starting to get worried about it. So, food for thought.
Mr. Marty.
Well, that brings up a topic that it's been on the news a lot lately about squatters. And I don't know if the state has laws regarding that or if the city of Fairbanks has laws. You know, we got a lot of seniors that winter outside and they vacate their homes. They're vacant. They'll probably have a neighbor check the mail and stuff. But be interesting to find out if we need to catch that in the bud before something happens or if we're already covered.
Ms. Tidwell.
I had looked at those same pages in the plan, and one of the things that I noticed, a couple of the areas that we talk about, the houses that, you know, abatement, that's on our abatement list, that I know there's been a lot of police activity. It doesn't show that way in those little dots, and I had some questions on that data myself. I looked at that. I did want to mention, you had said, and I just wanted to clarify, because you had said April 13th, you meant the meeting in May 13th, right? Like,
yes.
We're going to, okay, because yeah. I will actually be out of town from the 9th to the 18th, okay. So there's a chance that, I would say I likely won't be at the next work session, and I want to make sure I don't miss that. So.
Okay.
That's all.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I've got nothing. Thanks.
Ms. Rogers.
Not today, thank you.
Mr. Clayworth.
Thank you, Mayor. Lonnie brings up a good point. There have been a lot of articles recently on squatters and the lack of code a law to protect the owners of the house as far as removing them. I don't know in the state of Alaska what state laws are or anything we can do locally for that, but person who owns a house should have the right to remove someone who's broken into it, you would think. If we could look into that, that'd be a good idea. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I've got really nothing. So we're adjourned.